Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Marnie's Friends. I'm just about all here. I'm missing a little bit of voice today, but otherwise, I'm here with you. And so excited to have our special guest here today, Tammy Whitehurst. We're going to be talking today about how to build a powerful prayer ministry. And if you're like me, prayer is a huge part of your life, a huge part of your personal life as we connect with God through the days and through the weeks and the months and the years. And today we're going to talk about taking that prayer public into a ministry that involves other people. Our guest today, Tammy Whitehurst, has been an online friend of mine for a long time now. She's one of our wonderful speakers over at womenspeakers.com. I hope you'll check her out over there. And she's also the founder of Joy for the Journey Ministries. She shares that, quote, "It may not be well with our circumstances, but it can be well with our souls," end quote. Tammy has been described as a hoot with a capital H. I have found her to be so much fun, as well as such a deep resource for getting to know God better and to see how he's working in our everyday lives. So with that, I want to welcome our guest today. Welcome, Tammy.
Hello, Marnie. It's a joy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And you are a joy. That's what you like to do. Your ministry is called Joy for the Journey Ministries. And Tammy, you are so funny. Whenever I read your posts on Facebook or wherever, it just cracks me up. You have a gift of finding humor in every last little thing. Oh no! I think that the dashboard kicked off our guest. You know, guys, this is happening more and more, and I'm not sure why. So we're gonna get to the bottom of this one of these times here and figure out. I've made some changes already on the backside to try to eliminate this from happening, but it still happened. And let's see if we can get Tammy back. Tammy, are you there?
I am back. I don't know what happened. I heard a loud crashing noise, and it was over.
A loud crashing noise. Okay, well, Blog Talk, that's another little hint for you. It's a loud crashing noise, and then we're gone. No, I don't know. Tammy, we've been having kind of some trouble with that in the past several weeks here at Blog Talk, and I'm not sure why it is. But anyway, you're back now, so that's exciting. I was just saying right before we lost you that you have a gift of being able to find humor in just about everything.
Well, you know, I firmly believe that a merry heart is good like medicine, and I think that each and every one of us needs a whopping dose of that, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. But I will tell you that joy comes whenever I pray. Whenever I have a focused prayer life, that is whenever I begin to get the joy in my life that I so desired, and that God, you know, God wants us all to experience that, but we get that through prayer.
Mm. I like to use the analogy of the dolphin, who is a water dweller but an air breather, and that we are earth dwellers but we're prayer breathers. And every time we go up for air through prayer and connect with God directly, it changes our experience, just like when you see a dolphin jumping up in the air. They're so having such a good time, swimming through life, basically, and that's kind of how it's supposed to be for us. We live down here on earth, but we're supposed to be connecting with God all the time through prayer. And the topic today is a great one because it's about how to start a prayer ministry. And maybe you can give us a little background. Now, you have in the past worked with the Moberly Baptist Church in Texas there with their prayer ministry. And maybe give us a little background about how you first got involved in prayer ministry and what it's done for you personally.
Well, whenever I have been a person who has prayed for a while, for a long time, but whenever I began to really pray harder, whenever I began to search the scriptures, and when, you know, so many people say, "Teach me how to pray," they said it to Jesus. And there's no wrong way to pray, but whenever we learn how to pray better, our relationship with Jesus just grows and grows. And I know that whenever I began to serve as prayer ministry coordinator at Moberly Baptist Church, God put me in that position to be still before Him. And in the process of being in that position, I grew in my prayer life. I grew more and more every day. And in the midst of that, great things can happen because we begin to see how the Lord works. Having a prayer ministry is an awesome thing. Prayer's hard. I mean, honestly, I think most of us would admit, if we're truly honest, that prayer is hard. But prayerlessness is even harder. Prayerlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, prayerlessness, Marnie, it definitely gets us in a bind, and it can cause us to be filled with fear. It can cause us to be anxious and have a lack of joy and even to have a spiritual depression. And I never even realized that prayerlessness was a sin. And someone told me that one day. They said prayerlessness is a sin because Jesus talks so much and God talks so much about prayer. And so whenever we go to Him in prayer, as difficult as it might be, because life is busy and setting aside time to pray is busy, but whenever we do that and we begin to listen to God rather than us do all the talking, we begin to learn, and we begin to get closer to Him. And the closer we get to Him, the closer we want to be with Him. That has been my experience. And I will tell you that I have had, you know, I've had droughts in my prayer life where I did have prayerlessness at times. And so I was so thankful that God put me in prayer ministry because it began to build my faith. It began to build my strength in the Lord. And more than anything, it gave me more joy than anything this world could ever give me.
Yeah, for sure. And I know Oswald Chambers would say that sometimes the droughts come from sin that we have in our life that isn't confessed. But other times it comes because God is taking us through a season like a wilderness experience for Jesus, or possibly like David, King David, after he was anointed king, then he went through a long season before he was ever on the throne, and where God is just trusting and training us and watching for us to be faithful through the dry season. Those aren't easy, but sometimes it's encouraging to know that a lot of times they aren't because you did anything wrong. In fact, it's the opposite.
Right.
It's because you did something right.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, because waiting time is never wasting time. In that waiting time is when we do draw so close to the Lord. I heard Beth Moore say one time that any time that we have a spiritual renewal is when we have come out of a spiritual depression, or when we have gone through something that's so hard and we have gone through a desert. That's when we have this big spiritual renewal in our life. And I know in my own life I have definitely found that to be true.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's go ahead and dive in. Listeners, if you haven't already done so, you can get the training notes for this over at marniesfriends.com or in the Leadership Attitude site there. But let's go ahead and start with how to understand the value of persistent and listening prayer. First of all, maybe are those the same thing? And then what's the value of them?
I personally think that they're two different things. You know, so many people, and whenever I say so many people, I'm always talking about myself too, because I'm never going to talk about anything that I haven't experienced myself, and I'm never going to act as if I haven't gone through the same feelings that everybody else has in this world. And so, like a moment ago when I said, let's face it, prayer's hard, you know, in life. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, when we begin to do that, you know, so many people, they live with God at a distance. And when they have the power to see Him up close, if they will just stay persistent, they can hear His instructions. But it's about staying persistent. You know, the more time we spend with Him, the more we will hear His voice. And so persistence and listening do go hand in hand.
I find that in order to listen, I have to kind of block out the rest of the clutter, the rest of the noise. One of the things that I found that works really well for me is to keep a journal next to me or even on my lap while I'm praying. And then as other thoughts that don't belong with me right then, as they come to my mind, I just actually write them down. And I just in that way differentiate. I just like write, jot down a note. Okay, you know, remember to call, you know, the car repair man or whatever, you know, whatever yeah. thought is popping into my mind. And it's a legitimate need and a concern, but it isn't for right now. And so I just jot it down and then I go back to focusing. That's helped me to be able to concentrate and to listen instead of to be, you know, pulled away by all the cares of the world. What are some other ways that you have learned to stay persistent or to stay listening instead of being distracted?
Well, I love what you just said, because we do get distracted with everything else that we need to be doing for the day. Or if you're a list person, you start going over all those things. And for me, I like to have worship music on low. Mm-hmm. And I have this one chair that I like to go to for my quiet time, where it has to be an intentional thing. You know, we have to make it a priority. It has to be intentional. And when I go to that same place, then I can put the other things out of my mind. I can be persistent in prayer. And whenever my ears are tuned to hearing his voice, it's the things that he'll tell us during that time of persistence. It's thundering here. You might can hear that. We're about to have a storm here, but God will always lead us. He will lead us when we listen. And I know, as a woman who talks quite often and for a living, I have to be still and know that he is God. And so in order to be persistent, I have to have a place that I go to consistently that is my reminder to be still and know who he is.
Now, we are talking here a lot about personal prayer, about being persistent and listening in personal prayer. When we think about like a prayer ministry, the Moberly Baptist Church prayer ministry, for example, how does persistence and listening play out in a group like that?
Well, I know whenever you are part of a prayer ministry, you have signed up for times. And I know at Moberly Baptist Church, where I serve and I worship, you have a sign-up sheet, and some people are signed up for once a week for 52 weeks a year. And during the hour when they are in there, just like in our own private prayer time, there is all kinds of distractions that can take place. But one of the things that I always stressed to each and every intercessor was that whenever we begin in that hour time that we spend in there, we have to focus on first praying ourselves, so that God will direct us, he will put our focus on what we need to do, and that we won't be distracted by outside circumstances. Because so often, whether we are in our own prayer time or whether we are a part of a prayer ministry, distractions are just part of life. But, you know, I firmly believe that with God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we can be still. We have to be still. We have to put the brakes on and slow down, whether that's in our personal prayer life or whether that's in a prayer ministry. And a prayer ministry, to me, a prayer ministry is so important because it shows people the importance of prayer. And it unleashes a power like I've never seen before, because it's like a concentrated area where people can see that God still is in the business of doing miracles.
Yeah. Maybe describe for us, before we go any farther, describe for us what the prayer ministry at Moberly actually looks like. How is it formatted? What kind of commitments required? What happens when somebody walks in the door?
Well, at Moberly, we have a room, and it's a room about 10 foot by 10 foot, and when they walk through the prayer door, there's only one person in there at a time, but there are prayer boxes, and they are filled with prayer requests. Many of them come from our church. Many of them come from outside of our church, and many of them come from people who are out of state and have never even been to Longview, Texas. And we were featured in USA Today about a year and a half ago as a prayer ministry, and through that, we began to people began to reach us from all over the United States. It was absolutely awesome. Because people need prayer. People need to know sometimes that someone will pray for them, and it's a lot easier often for people to call somebody that they don't know. And so in this room, there is a phone, there's prayer boxes that are lined out, and it's a very calm and serene place. There's music in there if people want to play music, And then some people prefer total silence. But it's never, there's never more than one person in there at a time. And they just, and they rotate out. Some prayer ministries are 24 hours a day. Our prayer ministry starts at 5 a.m. every morning, and it's over at about 9 p.m., and then we have a recorder during the night for phone calls.
So when a person comes in, and it's like my shift then, from maybe 5 to 6 a.m., let's say that the phone never rings. What then?
If the phone never rings, there's so many other things inside this room that God can lead you toward. One woman came up to me one time, and she was just so stressed, and she was anxious, and she said, Tammy, there are so many prayer requests in there. There is no way I can get to all of those. And I took her hand, and I said, you're not supposed to get to all of those.
Right.
I said, you stop and pray and ask the Lord to show you which ones you're to pray for. And so in the different areas in there, you have prayer requests. Then you have a different wall that has answered prayer, and we call that our blessing board. And all over the blessing board is how God answers prayer. And when they have been in that box, those boxes, and people have prayed for them time and time and time again, and then they see them all of a sudden go to the blessing board, which is a very large board, it is awesome to see that whenever heaven was bombarded by this name, that God answered the intercessors. And it's just another wall has missionaries on it. And there's places all over the world where we pray for and we send prayergrams. Prayergrams are an awesome thing because prayergrams, they'll end up in a mailbox on just the right day. And it's like a prayer note, and it tells the person that we were praying for you today. In another area, there are children's prayer requests. I firmly believe that children need to know how powerful prayer is at a young age. I didn't realize the power of prayer until I was an adult, and I'm soon to be 45 years old. Whenever I was 26 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So I know what it is like to live a life without that relationship and then after that relationship, and I know that there are so many children who realize the power of prayer, that put those prayer requests in that prayer room. And when you send a child a prayergram and say, we have been praying for you, they can't wait to tell you when God answers that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another area, and the other area is where we have sent prayergrams all over the United States. We mark those with little red tabs. And so when you look, and it's amazing how God can use a 10-by-10 room where one person at a time rotates in and out of there in an East Texas town of Longview, Texas. And we know a man named Rich who lives in Seattle, Washington. You know, or we know a woman named Cynthia who lives in New York, and we have been praying for her, and she'll connect with us. Another thing, if your church has the means to have a prayer ministry coordinator on staff, a full-time prayer ministry coordinator on staff, that helps tremendously because basically a prayer ministry is volunteers from your church. It's those people who they're called to pray, and they know they love prayer. They're not intimidated by prayer. They love prayer, and they'll rise up, and they will volunteer for your prayer ministry. But you do need a prayer ministry coordinator because those are the people who keep everything organized. They rotate those prayers in and out of those boxes. We're the ones who post up on the board whenever prayer is answered, because the way that you find out that God has answered a prayer, it may be through an email. And I know in my office, oftentimes people would email. It might be through word of mouth. It might be through someone calling you on the telephone to tell you that a prayer was answered. But there's all different kinds of things that you can do in a prayer room. And I won't hesitate to tell you that sometimes when you go in there, when you pray for the direction that God wants you to go and where he wants you to pray, sometimes he will just take you and it will be just about him talking to you that in that entire hour. And you may never even go to the prayer boxes that day. Mm-hmm. But what happens in that prayer room is not between you and the coordinator. It's between you and God. And so a prayer ministry is an awesome thing. And a church can grow in a huge way whenever they have a prayer ministry that's thriving and is growing.
Yeah, I just am thinking of so many things, like doing a calculation, you know, how many hours a week of additional prayer does this add to a church's prayer life, you know, just that thing alone, even if you never prayed for a single prayer request, just that amount of time individually and corporately spent with God just will increase the power of a church. I think it was, I'm missing his name. He wrote Piercing the Darkness in This Present Darkness. And
Frank Peretti.
He said, you know, a prayerless Bible study or a prayerless church is just powerless. It's just not even a threat at all. But when we add the element of prayer to whatever we're doing for God and with God and for God and through God and to God, when we add prayer to that, it just increases the effectiveness of everything just exponentially. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come right back and talk about tapping into the joy of prayer and visiting right now with Tammy Whitehurst. We'll be right back.
The fastest and easiest way to find out which major women's events are coming to your area is to visit www.womensevents.info. That's womensevents.info. It's the only directory of its kind, and it features all of the major events like Women of Faith, Beth Moore, eConference Women, and so many others. It's free to search, and you can find it all at womensevents.info. Successfully maximizing the gifts God has given us is the best gift that we can give back to God. Are you 100% clear about why you're here, about how God defines success for you personally? Are you on track with God's plan for your life? The best life on planet Earth followed by the best possible eternity for you? If not, check out the Success Principles Intensive Training course over at Marnie.com. It's a 6-hour online program that will change how you define and do your life from today forward. It's a biblically based approach to goal setting and achievement. So check it out under the Training tab at Marnie.com.
Okay, sorry, we are having trouble with our switchboard here again, and welcome back to you. This is Marnie. We're visiting today with Tammy Whitehurst on the subject, how to have a powerful prayer ministry, and thank you for being here. Thank you for just being patient with us as we try to make this gift of God, this Blog Talk Radio setup work here. We've just been struggling the last few weeks and not quite sure why, so if you would want to pray for us and with us, that would be resolved quickly. That would be awesome. And in the meantime, we are doing the best we can with what we've got. And today we have a wonderful guest, Tammy Whitehurst, with us here sharing how to build a powerful prayer ministry. We're going to move next into the tapping into the joy of prayer. And earlier in the show, Tammy, you mentioned that prayer is hard, but prayerlessness is harder. And I want us to just think about the aspect of joy in prayer for a little while, because sometimes we do just associate prayer with being really hard work, and it can be really hard work.
It can, but it is one of the most rewarding things. And really, it's just about stopping. It's about stopping and taking the time and making it a priority. You know, one of the things that I didn't mention before is two books that have been just monumental to me. And there is Prayer 101, which is by Elaine Helms, and she talks about how to set up a prayer ministry. Excellent, excellent book. And the other one is by Jim Cimbala, and you probably have read it. It's called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that book, he is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, talks about the power of prayer in a way that just, I mean, it gives you chill bumps. It gives me chill bumps even saying it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an awesome book. Awesome, awesome. Mm-hmm. And how God answers prayer.
I think I'm going to throw a couple of my favorites in here, too, if you're jotting down books to read. So the ones Tammy mentioned were Prayer 101 by Helms and Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by Cimbala. And that's a C-Y, Cimbala there. And then three that I just love are Enjoying the Presence of God by Jan Johnson. Oh, awesome book. The Practice of the Presence of God which is Brother Lawrence, and then Experiencing God Through Prayer by Madame Guyon. So those are Enjoying the Presence of God by Johnson, The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, and Experiencing God Through Prayer by Madame Guyon. There's so many more too, but these are maybe your couple of your favorites, couple of my favorites. And if you were to say, Tammy, what about Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire just captured your heart when you say it just gives you chills almost just saying the name of it? Why? What was so important about that book?
What I loved so much about that book was the story that he told about his daughter. Whenever he had prayed for his daughter. And then whenever he actually just listened to the Lord, and we talked earlier about listening to the Lord, whenever he listened to the Lord, and the Lord told him to tell his congregation. And his congregation began to lift up his daughter in prayer in a huge amount. That's intercessory prayer. That's prayer ministry at work right there. Because when people begin to, what I like to call, bombard heaven with your name, and his daughter's name was bombarded by heaven, into heaven, and I'm telling you, it was only a matter of a few days till she came home. And whenever, if you've ever had a child who has struggled, you will be able to relate with that story, and it makes you want to pray a prayer warrior's prayer for your child, and you consistently keep doing it. You know, it's hard to pray so persistently and to keep doing it and keep doing it in an instant society. And that's what we live in, is an instant society. But I love the verse, Isaiah 40:31, that says, those who wait upon the Lord shall soar on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And that really, to me, talks about persistence, because so many times when I talk to women or mothers, I will say, if you can't soar, then run. If you can't run, then walk, and if you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, keep moving forward. And persistence is about keeping the pace, going forward, running the race with endurance. We have to give up the busyness for a little while, and we have to keep running the race. But waiting, I know for me and for most people, waiting wears us out. It bores us, and sometimes we want to give up. But waiting time is never wasting time, and there is so much joy on the other end of waiting, so much joy when God answers those prayers.
So when you're describing this story out of Simbala's book, and also just in life, you're talking about the joy that comes from waiting, the joy that comes as a result of the praying at the end of it. And I just want to also just... let's talk for a minute about the joy that comes during the prayer, because, like for me, Enjoying the Presence of God by Jan Johnson, that's the book that really taught me how to incorporate prayer into every moment of the day. So, for instance, one of the things that used to be the hardest and still isn't easy for me is any time that I have to do tax paperwork. That is just really hard for me. I'm not a numbers person. I'm not a perfectionistic person. I'm very much more comfortable with words and language than I am with numbers. And so this tax thing, this is always really intimidating for me. I'm scared about it, and it's too big for my little brain. So when I hit that, I usually go into fear. I get real cranky. I get real anxious and all that. And one of the things that she said was that when she had something else in her life that was like that, she just lit a candle, and she set it beside her so that while she was working, whenever she saw the candle, she would remember that God was present with her, the fire of the Holy Spirit, just that little flame inside of us. And that one thing alone, Tammy, has made a huge difference for my anxiety level, because right there in the midst of something that is painful, that isn't fun, that is difficult, I have the joy of the Lord right there with me, and it's changed my experience to a huge degree.
I love that.
And it brought me joy right in the midst of the hard thing. And so I think that, you know, there is, it's true that there's just this tremendous joy, kind of like the home going to heaven joy we'll feel when we get to see God face to face. But then there's the in progress joy that we can have as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and all the hard things that we go through here.
That's right. And, you know, when you talk about joy, the verse in Psalms 30, verse 5. It says, joy comes in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, there's that. I used to wake up and I would think to myself, good Lord, it's morning.
Yeah.
And then when we refocus and we think, good morning, Lord,
mm-hmm.
it makes it completely different. And we focus. It's about our focus, just like that flame. I love that because that's a visual. That's a visual that we can see that is constantly going, because God never leaves us. And so I think I'm going to try that little flame in my quiet time. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, it is really powerful. And, in fact, one year at Christmas, it was really fun. My middle name is Joy, and my first name, Marnie, actually means joyful. So my name is Joyful Joy. And one year at Christmas, we had this exchange, and I got a gift, and it was the word joy in front of three little votive candles. And it was just so fun. I thought, there it is right there for me, my little candle.
Yes.
Reminder that I can be joyful in the midst of whatever it is that's hard for me. And another thing is just to, like when you were talking about the pattern, like in the morning, good morning, Lord, just to build those into your day. I have those built all through my day.
Yes.
Where different things I see or do trigger me to prayer. So before I even open my eyes, I'm saying the Lord's Prayer, and I always start it in the same way. Good morning, Daddy, because he's my Abba Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I say it, I personalize that prayer, good morning, Daddy, and then I'm so glad that you're in heaven and you're not stuck here in my circumstances of my day, but you've got perfect perspective. Go on and just talk to him through that as I'm getting up. Then as I'm getting physically dressed, I'm getting spiritually dressed in the armor of God. All these things that help me to incorporate prayer ministry right into my day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to have a prayer ministry like you guys have at Moberly there, where 1 hour... Do most people just like do 1 hour a week or 1 hour a month, or how often do people commit to an hour?
Most people do 1 hour a week, but then you
mm-hmm.
have, like you may have small groups or Sunday school classes that will do a rotation, and they have, if
sure.
they have four people in the rotation, they do it once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have 12 people in that rotation, they do it once every 3 months. And I'm really surprised right then that I did those numbers so quickly, because I have the same numbers fear that you do.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And, you know, everything you said, I could so relate with that. And that...
That's because we're speakers. It's because we're speakers,
right.
And we aren't accountants.
That's right. And I'm so thankful for people who can do that.
Yeah. Oh, I know it. Yeah.
But, you know, that it in that rotation, and there was oftentimes when, as a coordinator, you do have to deal with numbers when you're doing all those kinds of things.
Right.
And...
Mm-hmm.
and that's times whenever I was very thankful for my assistant who helped quite a bit on that. But because you do have reminders. You know, people always need a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And so you always remind them of when their time's coming up. But rarely, rarely do your committed intercessors ever miss, because
mm-hmm.
they just, you know, see and taste that the Lord is good. And that hour that they get in the presence of the Lord in that little room, they consider it an honor to serve in the prayer ministry.
Sure.
Prayer ministry is just an awesome place. And if I could just, I know some of the things that in a prayer ministry, some of the names that stick out for me in our prayer ministry, there was a friend who, and you have a tendency to, you will know them because you know their stories. They won't know you. You're praying for
mm-hmm.
them, and
right,
but
right.
yet you feel like you know them. There
mm-hmm.
is a woman named Dana who had stage 4 cancer, and I
mm.
do know her. But she, her prayer life was incredible, and it had spread to different organs. And she went to the doctor just yesterday. And this is where there's so much joy in prayer. She has been joyous through this entire thing, and she has focused on the Lord the entire time. She is a perfect example of it may not be well with our circumstances, but it's well with our soul.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, mm-hmm. she found out that she was clear. And so
that was
just an awesome moment. There was a little boy named Josh who wasn't, we had prayed and prayed and prayed for him. He wasn't supposed to live until the age of 2. And he's 8 years old now. He walks with the help of of different types of devices, but he's walking, and he's in a gifted and talented program. And he got up and he spoke at our prayer banquet. We have a prayer banquet once a year. And whenever all those intercessors are looking at people that they have prayed for, that is very important, too, to me, is that at the prayer banquet, I would have people come up there that would actually talk about how prayer blessed their lives, how God has answered prayer in their lives. And we even, this year, some of the people that we had, that we had a lady from Alaska, we had people from out of state that actually sent a video. You know, technology is amazing now.
Yeah,
they
sent a
video clip telling the prayer intercessors how much they appreciated the prayers that were lifted on their behalf. And whenever people are watching that, that's like the blessing board that comes alive.
Mm-hmm.
And tears are just streaming down your face.
Yeah.
You know, there was a young lady, and this is the last one I'll say right here. There was a young lady named Madeline. And as an 8-year-old little girl, she was told that she would be completely blind by the age of 18. Well, her father, very godly man, prayed and prayed and prayed with the faith of a mustard seed over his daughter. And his daughter is 18 years old now, and she has no problem with her vision. And one of the things that the doctor said was, it is a miracle because she can see through the holes in the back of her eyes.
Mm.
So it is amazing. But you know what? Through prayer ministry, we realize that the impossible is always possible with God.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the person who's listening and is like, I just don't know if that's about prayer or if it's really just about, you know, kind of things turn out good sometimes better than we expect or whatever. And I just encourage you that if you have any doubt that prayer works, that prayer is real and that prayer can change lives, just get involved in a prayer ministry.
Yes.
And the evidence will overwhelm you.
Yes.
Not, because, well, like my mom's friends who maybe don't know Jesus yet, to say to her, boy, you sure have a lot of coincidences happening in your life.
Yes.
You know, and to a person who doesn't know God and who doesn't know the power of prayer, it just seems like an amazing number of coincidences happening all the time for certain people. But for those of us who are looking at God and saying, you are the source, you are the answer, we know that it's not coincidences. We know that it's the intervention of God and of the prayer of the saints that makes a difference in situations and can really change lives. And so cool. Why don't we move on to the next point we wanted to discuss today was putting prayer into action. And do you mean by that doing something other than praying?
Well, for me, I know just that action word, it reminds me of two songs whenever I was a little girl that we used to sing. And one of them was Onward Christian Soldiers, because I used to always go to VBS. Onward Christian Soldiers, and then I May Never March in the Infantry.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those songs are action songs. And we love doing that, I May Never March in the Infantry, but I'm in the Lord's Army.
Right.
You know, when we learn His Word and we pray the Scriptures, it transforms the way we think, and it puts us into action. Because, you know, we pray, but prayer does require action. We pray, we listen, and then we act. And God just begins to open our eyes to the miracles that He's capable of. I love what you said a moment ago about, if you doubt the power of prayer, be involved in a prayer ministry, because you see it in a concentrated amount when you are a part of a prayer ministry. And any church who is wondering if they should start a prayer ministry, because a lot of times people will say this, well, people can pray anywhere. That is true. People can pray anywhere. And I know, Marnie, you and I pray all during the day with our eyes open when we're driving down the road. We have conversations with God throughout the day. But it's that commitment, just like if you are greeting at the door. You take that greeting at the door very seriously on Sunday morning. If you are teaching a Sunday school class, being a part of prayer ministry is just like that. And so it's putting prayer into action. It's going in there and reminding yourself that you're being used by the Lord. And I think it's definitely, to me, it's definitely an action word. Because, you know, whenever, if you're looking for a job, well, you begin in prayer about that job. And then I will often tell people, you ask God to light your path and show you where to go, what to say in that interview. Then you get dressed and you get your feet on the pavement and you watch where God will lead you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're praying for God to heal your body, then you pray. We always pray first, because nothing can really happen if we don't pray first. So we pray, then we pray specifically for God to lead us to those doctors that He wants us to go to, those divine appointments. But we get out and we find them. God will light the path. He will show you the way. If you're praying for your marriage or relationship, you know, so many people, that's what they're so, they have a relationship that's off kilter. They have a marriage that's in desperate need of healing. And I will say, pray first. Then seek out a godly counselor, a Christian counselor, and take some time to pray and ask God, where are you and your spouse or you and your child or whoever it is that you have relationship issues with? And take time to spend some time with them. Have a weekend away. Get to know your child better. Get to know your spouse better, so that all of those are action words. You're praying. You're seeking God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. But then we watch for God. And when you watch Him with your eyes, He is going to show you the way. He's going to light the path. He's going to open doors. But so many times people they'll say their prayer, and then they're done for the day. And for me personally, it's a process. I say my prayer, and then I get ready to watch. Because if I listen, God's going to tell me what to do.
Yeah, and I'm so excited always that praying is an action verb all by itself, even before we put any other additional action with it. And I think that as my kids have grown up and left home, and now the thing that I have to do every day for them is pray. I no longer get to make a meal for them every day or do their laundry or, you know, these things, you know, be there when they're sick. These things that you get to do when they're younger. And sometimes you get tired of doing when they're younger. But then when they go, you no longer have those actions to do. And I'm so grateful that prayer is an action verb and that I do get to also invest into them physically at times, you know, when we can. But when it's a distance, that we can always pray, and that is action. And God counts that as action, which is just so beautiful. And then so many times, like you said, then there's something physically we're supposed to get up and go do, send a note or make a call or invest money or whatever it is, you know, the action that follows, and God makes that clear. So that's so great. Let's talk about building a prayer ministry. And if someone was going to say, I really like what you're saying here, I see the value in having a prayer ministry, what would you recommend to them as one of the first things that they would want to do besides pray about it and think about it?
To me, the first thing you have to do is you have to make sure that you have a genuine endorsement from your pastor on the prayer ministry, on any program, on anything that is in a church. The pastor always has to endorse that, and he has to be fully behind that, and that is the same for prayer ministry as well. You know, and I can't imagine a pastor who would not be for that, but I always open that up and say the pastor has to be fully behind it with no exceptions. And our pastor, actually, on Sunday mornings when he is preaching from the pulpit, there's actually a prayer room that is right below him almost, and there are, this is part of prayer ministry coordinator's job as well, but there are people who are assigned for the entire year, and while he is preaching from the Word, they are underneath him, and they are lifting him in prayer for an entire hour. It is awesome, because they're not only praying for him to do exactly what God wants him to do, to say exactly, to be the vessel that God wants him to be, but they're praying that the Holy Spirit is going to fall fresh on the congregation, that bondage is going to be broken, that people are going to accept Jesus as their Savior. So there is power in that, and he always says that he feels so much stronger knowing that the prayer warriors are below him in that room. Yeah. There's just, prayer ministry encompasses a lot, but I think the very beginning is that you do have to make sure that your pastor is 100% behind it.
And I guess for somebody who's listening too, and this is the exact same advice that I give gals who want to start a prayer or a women's ministry in their church too, you have got to get the leadership's approval first. If they are not 100% on board with it, it is either A, not God's time yet, or B, you're not the one he has in mind to lead it, one of those two things. And And either of those are God's prerogative, and so you might not be the one to start it. Maybe you have this desire, but it needs someone else to be in charge of it, or maybe you have this desire and it's not God's timing. So don't throw in, you know, don't throw out the idea or leave the church if they aren't ready to do it yet. Just remember that God works in mysterious ways, and sometimes it isn't quite the same timing. Yeah, I think of all the people in the Bible, Tammy, who God put visions in their heart, and they had to wait a really long time in order to see those visions. And that's certainly been my experience in life, too. So many of the visions that God has given me, I've waited a long, long time, or I'm still waiting to see the fruition of that. And it takes just patient persistence, like we were talking about earlier, and listening. Is this God's time? Is this God's way? Am I God's person for this particular work? And just to be faithful to let God lead us in that. Okay, once they have the pastor's approval, what would be the next thing to do?
Well, there's all the planning stages that come whenever you begin a prayer ministry. I think that it's important once you have asked for people who will volunteer to be a part of the prayer ministry, I think it's important to have some type of training. In training meaning, one of the things that scares people the most in a prayer room is the telephone. Even people who have been in there 25 years will say, when that phone rings, I always gasp.
Yeah.
Because you never know who's going to be on the other side. You never know what their prayer request is going to be. But the thing is, you have to remember, do not fear, I'm with you, says the Lord. And we have to remember that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And if you can actually do some practice on that, that helps tremendously. If we offer lessons, teaching classes, that kind of thing on the power of prayer, and have people actually give testimonies to that, it gets people fired up for the power of prayer. I think that that so often, if we will stress not only the need for prayer, but in your group, in your prayer intercessor group, whether it is a group of 12 or it's a group of 187, that's how many we have at Moberly. But however many you have to stress confidentiality, because you're not going to have prayer requests you're not going to have the kind of prayer requests that are deep from a person's heart, the kind of things that people need the shackles removed from their life with, the kind of things like marriages when they're in trouble, when people are struggling with an issue in life that is just breaking them apart. If you have confidentiality in your prayer ministry, then you will get those kind of prayer requests. But if they cannot trust the people who are going to read those prayer requests, they will not put a prayer request in there. So I think that we really have to teach people confidentiality. What they read in that room for that 1 hour cannot leave that room. What they read in that room has to be between them and God, and they pray on intercessory behalf. They stand in the gap for that person while they're in there. You know, we often, I would do this kind of thing where I always like for that quiet place, just like my quiet place at home, I like for that place to smell good. I like for it just to be so peaceful. So I think that we have to create a very peaceful place in this room, and it doesn't have to be fancy. You know, fancy doesn't have to be, or peaceful doesn't have to be expensive by any means.
Right.
I think we have to make sure in those training sessions that not only do we teach people how to answer the phone, but you want that telephone number to get out there. You want it to get out in your church, in your city, in your state, and you have to come up with, our number at our church is 903-759-PRAY. If you can have something on the end, like pray, people can remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have it going across our sign outside of the church all the time. And we're on a very busy highway. And so people see that. And a lot of the calls that we get come in during the morning on the way to work, on the lunch break, on the way home, driving time. Get your number out there. That's very important. But just equipping people also. And, you know, not everybody has walked in the shoes of the person who's calling on the other end of that line sometimes. And so there is a something that I used all the time, and it's a little red book called Emergency Prayers by Deborah Pegues, and it has every kind of scriptural prayer for anything that you can imagine in it. There, anything that a caller can call about. Anything that a caller can call about is in that book. And what I have found with my prayer intercessors is that someone may call because they're going through a marriage that is turned upside down and their husband has left them, let's say something like that. And the intercessor is not someone who's ever gone through that. But there will be a prayer in there. And I always tell them, don't be scared. Don't be fearful. You find it in there. And everything is alphabetized. It's the best book I've ever seen that helps intercessors. And what happens is, when that intercessor begins to pray for that person on the other end of the line, who a lot of times is weeping, all of a sudden God just takes over. And they begin to close their eyes, and they pray in a way that they didn't even realize that they could. Because you have helps in there to get you started with the scriptures for that specific thing. But then all of a sudden your eyes close, and you are praying for that person in a way that's just going to help them in a tremendous way. So the phone, that is an area that you really have to train people on. And I think it's a very good idea also to have tracks of some kind in a prayer room. That helps a lot as well, because you do have people that call that want to know about the Lord. You know, maybe they're calling because they don't know if they know the Lord. So I think it's good just to have all kinds of helps in there, and that alleviates a lot of fear that some people have, no matter how long they've been a Christian and no matter how long they've answered that phone. But I also think, one person told me one time, an older lady, very wise, 90-something years old, she said, I've worked this prayer room for 25 years. She said, and when that phone rings, I always get chills. And she said, that always reminds me that I can't do anything on my own, but with God I can do all things.
Right.
She said, it reminds me that I need the Lord.
Right, just that dependence that we have to have
on
Him.
That's right. If you miss
that, the name of that book is Emergency Prayers by Deborah, and her last name is Pegues, Pegues. Yeah, and awesome. And, you know, it reminds me when Dave and I volunteered for the Billy Graham Prayer Lines several years ago, and they had a book real similar to that. And just having that book full of scriptures that are laid out according to the person's need, whether it's an anger problem or an alcohol problem or, you know, an adoption problem or, you know, whatever. It's just by alphabet, and it makes it so comfortable that what happens is, like, just what you said, you know, you hear the phone. At the Billy Graham Center, what happens is you hear the phones coming toward you, so you'll hear ring, 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 ring.
Yeah.
It's getting louder. You know it's coming your turn pretty soon, you know, and, you know, you're feeling, oh, my goodness, am I going to be able to be God's vessel here? And just having a few verses to kick you off, what it does is it reminds you that it's all about God. It's not about you and your skill. It's just about you being the vessel and the one that gets the privilege, the awesome privilege of praying with that person in need right then. And it's such a joy. Well, we only have a few minutes left. Let's go ahead and talk a bit about keeping a prayer journal.
I think a prayer journal is so important. I know for myself, in the back of my Bible, there are a lot of pages that were empty. There were like 30 pages that you can write on in the back of my Bible. And I began a long time ago writing down where God had begun to answer prayers or what I was praying for. And so I can actually go back in the back of my Bible for several years, and I can see where God's answered prayer. And so in those times, whenever I may be weary or I may be frustrated, all I have to do is go read that. And when I read that, God once again shows me, I am there for you, Tammy. I have proved myself over and over and over. And I love a prayer journal because, for one thing, whenever I have gone on home to be with the Lord, my daughter will have that Bible. And in the back of that Bible, she has already claimed that for herself. So, Okay, in the back, I'm sorry, there was a loud noise there. In the back of that Bible, she sees where God answered her mother's prayers, and so mm-hmm. many of them were about her.
Mm.
It is never, I want to really stress, it is never too late to start a prayer journal. Never.
Right.
You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm 70, 80 years old. Why would I want to start one now? You want to start one because it is, because of what you leave behind. You want to start one so that you can see how God answers prayers no matter how old you are or what stage in your life that you are. So to me,
we forget, yeah.
That's
we
right.
forget.
That's right.
The Bible talks about that, about keeping a record so that people can know in future days what God has done.
Yes.
I mean, that's what the Bible is.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, God loves journals. He loves people writing down what he has done and how he has been faithful. And actually even some of the hard things that people had to go through in order to, you know, wait out the journey, you know, the three boys, you know, thrown in the fire, and then God's in the fire with them.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes.
I mean, the whole story there of it. And it's just a journal entry. It's like, this is what happened to them. And that's what a journal is to me. I've got so many journals. I've got way too many.
Mm-hmm.
but I just go through them just as fast as I want to. I don't worry about it. And sometimes I go on journal dates with God where I take a bunch of them and I just sit down and I go back through and, oh, my goodness, just remembering the passages that he gave me in certain desperate situations and watching how, you know, oh, that was such a big concern to me then. But look at, you know. He just completely provided, like always, and I don't need to let these things become so big in my mind. Well, and we just only have like 3 minutes left, Tammy, but why don't you just describe, now you did earlier describe your prayer banquet that you have once a year. Do you guys also do a retreat or a conference?
We have a 24-hour prayer day that where we have people come up. They can come up at any time during that time. And they pray for different areas. It's a church. That is a church-wide event, not just a prayer ministry event.
Okay.
But prayer ministry hosts that. We're the ones who do that thing. But then also, the prayer banquet that's once a year. That is the time whenever we have a speaker, and the speaker will talk about the power of prayer. And what you also find that in that prayer banquet. A lot of these people, we have 187 people in that prayer ministry, and a lot of times they don't know each other because
right.
they serve at different times. So they get to all come together.
Sure.
They also get to see, like I said earlier, some of the ones that we've prayed for a long time. We have them come up there. We have
mm-hmm.
videos that shows them. We feed them a wonderful meal. It's our way of saying thank you so much for being a part of this ministry, for making such an impact in this world through your prayers. And, you know, life's not going to get any easier. I say that often. Life doesn't get easier. We just get better at it. And
mm-hmm.
I think things like prayer definitely make us better at it.
Absolutely.
So there's just, you know, there's all kinds of ways that we can, you can tell my husband's home, all of a sudden phones are ringing and everything else. but prayer ministry is one of the most valuable things I have ever been a part of in my entire life. And C.S. Lewis once said, I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun, not because I can see it, but by it I can see everything else.
Mm.
And the way that we see everything else is to devote ourselves to a prayer life and just be persistent, keep listening, put prayer in action. And it's just incredible. It's incredible the joy that you will have when you do that. Through it, at the end, at the beginning, it's refreshing. Prayer's refreshing.
Amen. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for being here. I've so appreciated you joining us today. And if you want to learn more about Tammy, you can visit her website at tammywhitehurst.com. That's T-A-M-M-Y, White, like the color, White, and then Hurst, H-U-R-S-T.com. Thank you all for being here. I hope that you have a wonderful day, and we will see you next time on our next edition of Marnie's Friends. Bye-bye. Have a great day.